Welcome back to our Nach Yomi series on Sefer Yirmiyo. In today's show, we're studying Perek Lamed Tet, chapter 39, which will include the story of how the city of Yerushalayim was captured in the 11th year of Titkiyo. It will also come to tell us how the Nevot of Yirmiyo came true, Yirmiyo's warnings that should they not listen and not repent properly and not subjugate themselves to Bavel, what fate would befall the city, and sure enough, all of his warnings, as he predicted, came true. So let's begin with Pasuk Aleph. Bashana ha-tshi'it v'tzidkiyo melech Yehuda, b'chodesh ha-siri, in the ninth year of Tzidkiyo, in the 10th month, we don't have the date here, but we know from the book of Yechezkel, chapter 24, and also from the end of Sefer Melachim, this was on the 10th of Tevet, b'an Nebuchadrezzar melech Bavel v'chol chelo, el Yerushalayim v'yatzuru aleha. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Bavel, and his entire army came and marched on Yerushalayim, and they set a siege around the city. This siege began in the 10th month of the 9th year of Tzidkiyo, and continued until the month of Av in the 11th year. Do the math, it comes out to about 18 months. Also pay attention that Nebuchadnezzar himself comes to lay the siege on the city at the time of the Churban of Yerushalayim in the 11th year. We're going to find that Nebuchadnezzar himself is no longer there. Instead, we're going to find about north in the city of Rivlah. Now we're going to skip to the 11th year to find out what happened. Pasuk Bet. Bashtei Esrei Shana leTzidkiyo, in the 11th year of Tzidkiyo, B'chodesh HaRevi'i, in the 4th month, the month of Tammuz, B'tish'a LaChodesh Havka Ha'ir, on the 9th day of the month, this city was breached. It probably means not the city was breached, but the wall of the city was breached. However, there's a date here that probably surprises you, that here the Pasuk says that the wall of Yerushalayim was breached on the 9th of Tammuz, where in our tradition, based on the Mishnah and Masechet Tanit in the 4th Perek, it claims 5 things happened on the 17th of Tammuz, and one of them was breaching of the wall of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara in Masechet Tanit, Daf Chav Ched Amud Bet, asks this question, how can the Mishnah say that the wall was breached on the 17th of Tammuz, if the Pasuk here says the wall was breached on the 9th of Tammuz? So the answer that the Bavli gives is that the Mishnah is talking about the second temple, and the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu is talking about the first temple. Let's continue now with the story in Pasuk Gimel. Ve'evo kol sarei melech Bavel, ve'eshvu b'shar ha-tavech. All the important officers of the king of Bavel came and sat in what's called the gate of the middle. This is the only time this gate is mentioned, but it seems to be an important gate. And once that gate was broken, the fate of the city is already sealed. And this event is going to cause Tzidkiyo to run away. And then we get a list of some of the officers who entered the city and sat by the shar. The first one is Nergal Sar Etzer Samgar Nevo. That's one name. And the name Nergal is the name of a Babylonian god. Sar Etzer in Akkadian means protector of the king. And Samgar Nevo is an area in Bavel, a geographic area where this person is from. So his name seems to mean that this god Nergal protect the king. Another officer coming in, his name was Sarchim Rav Saris. He was in charge of all the eunuchs, in charge of the Sarisim. And the last one is Nergal Sar Etzer Rav Mag. It's a very similar name to the first one, but he is in charge of all the nobles. Rav Mag seems to be like an officer in charge of all the nobility. And in addition to them, V'chol Sherit Sarei Melech Bavel, and all the other ministers of the king of Bavel, in other words, all the important generals and ministers serving the Babylonian king who were overseeing the siege of Yerushalayim, now entered the wall that was broken. Now we're going to see how this caused Yirmiyo to run away. Pasuk Dalet, V'hi Kashir Ra'am, Tzidkiyo Melech Yehuda, V'chol Anshei Melchama. When Tzidkiyo and all the men of war saw the Babylonian officers entering the city, Vayivruchu, they ran away. Vayitzu laila min ha'ir, derech Gan HaMelech. That night, they ran away from the city by way of what's called Gan HaMelech. We'll discuss where that is in a minute. Bashar ben HaChamotayim, by the gate between the walls. Vayitzei derech Arava, and they ran away by way of the Arava. The Arava is the valley, a little north of the Dead Sea, which nowadays is called the Bika or Bikat Yarden, in an attempt to get away to maybe to Moab or Tamon, or maybe a hiding place in the desert, like we saw happen when the second temple was destroyed. Many people ran away to the area of the Dead Sea and hid in the caves over there. Now, let's see where they ran away from. The Babylonians entered the city from the north. As anyone who knows the history of Yerushalayim and its geography, the weakest approach to the city is from the north, because the valleys there are not as steep, and therefore they probably broke the wall from the north. Gan HaMelech, where they're running away from, is the southern part of the city. Gan HaMelech, most likely, is where the Shiloach brings water from the Gichon to the bottom of Ir David. to this day you can still see a lot of vegetation there. And that's a place where three valleys meet. Nachal Kidron from the east, Nachal Geben Hinnom coming in from the west, and a smaller valley called the Teropin Valley, or Haggai, which forms the border of Ir David, coming in a little bit on an angle from Shar HaShbot. Because several valleys meet in this area where the waters of the Shiloh fall out, that area is called Ben HaChamotayim because it was probably a double wall on that part of the city. So it looks like the king and all the men of the army ran away with the king at night to the southern part of the city, probably going through the area of Ma'ale Edomim on the way to El Arava, trying to run away from the Babylonians. It could be that the date, the 9th of the month, can also help us understand how they plan to get away, because on the 9th of the month, the moon is only a little more than half full, and it sets a little bit after midnight. That would give them 3 or 4 hours of total darkness to run away, which would be enough time to get them outside of Yerushalayim and towards the Arava. It could be that's why the date in the beginning of the parak may provide important information. Pasuk Hey, even though they tried to get away, the Babylonians were able to chase them. Pasuk Hey, Vayirdefu chel kasdim achareihem, the kasdim, the army of the kasdim chased after them. Vayasigu et Tzidkiyahu barvot Yericho, they caught him by the plains of Yericho, pretty much near the site of Yericho today. Vayichu oto, they captured him there and arrested him. Vayalu el Nebuchadrezzar melech bavel rivlata, ve'eretz Hamat, in the land of Hamat, up near Syria, and then bring him to the king in Rivla to be judged there. By the very Tom Mishpatim, Nebuchadnezzar spoke very harshly with him. To speak Mishpatim means to be judgmental, not necessarily to take him to court. The king doesn't need to take someone to court, but to speak judgmentally of somebody, to tell them how unfair they've been. That seems to be the meaning here of by the very Tom Mishpatim. If you look in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Bet, when Shmuel the Navi gathers the nation together to appoint the king, but before appointing the king, he gives them a lot of musar. There he says, in Pasuk Zayin, he tells the people, Bahu v'ishatfa itchem et kol tzidkot Hashem, I'm going to come and be judgmental of you, of how righteous and right God has been, and how poor you have been in your relationship with God since the time you left Egypt. Because Tzidkiyahu was appointed by the king of Bavel to become king, on the condition that he remained loyal to the Babylonian Empire, by breaking that covenant and that promise, the king is going to be very angry with him, and he's going to get the following punishment. First, he took the sons of the king who were captured together with the king, and he shechted them. He cut off their heads in front of the king himself. Also, all the nobles of Yehuda who were caught together with the king, they were all shechted as well. And all this was done in front of the eyes of the king. And after seeing all this, then they poked out Tzidkiyahu's eyes and they made him blind. And then they put his feet in copper chains, and in those chains they marched him to Bavel. Now we're going to go back and see what happened to the city of Yerushalayim. Pasachet, Vet Beit HaMelech Vet Beit HaAm Safua Kazdim Ba'esh, the king's house and all the houses of the people. At Beit HaAm could be referring to one building, some public building called Beit HaAm, or it could be referring to Batei HaAm, the houses of all the people, they were burnt by the Kasdim in fire. Vet Chomot Yerushalayim Natatsu, the walls of Yerushalayim were broken and disassembled. Vet Yeter HaAm HaNisharim Ba'ir, the remaining people who stayed alive and weren't killed, those who remained in the city. Vet HaNoflim Asher Naflu Alav, and the people who defected earlier and surrendered to the Babylonians. Vet Yeter HaAm HaNisharim Heglan Nevuzaradan Rav Tabachim Bavel. Nevuzaradan Rav Tabachim seems to be the senior officer in Yerushalayim at the time, because Nebuchadnezzar himself is in Rivla. He exiles the remaining people to Bavel. But not everyone was exiled. Certain people were left behind, as Pasuk Yud tells us. Umina Am Adalim, from the poor people, asher ein lem mu'uma, that they have no issue with anybody, simple citizens, not the kind of people who are going to rebel. Hishir Nebuzaradan, Rav Tabachim be'eretz Yehuda. Nebuzaradan let them stay in the land of Yehuda. He gave them vineyards and fields and plowed fields on that day that they could work the land. Now that could be one for several reasons. When a conquering nation takes over land, they don't want the land to lay desolate. They'd rather produce crops because they have to feed their soldiers and they have to collect taxes. And if there's a community or a population that is not a threat of rebelling, it makes sense to leave them and let them work the land. The people who the king saw as no threat of rebelling or taking arms again, those people, the Babylonians left behind. from a more religious point of view, there could be a certain type of justice here, because these poor people were probably the people who were oppressed by the rich people that Yirmiyahu was complaining about all the time. And the irony now is those poor people receive all the lands that the nobles had before. Those people were either killed or exiled, and the poor people are allowed to stay in the land and work the fields. Now we have to find out what happened to Yirmiyahu. Recall, Yirmiyahu was last seen in Chatzar Matara, in that detention camp for political prisoners near the king's house. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vaitzav Nevuchadrezzar Melech Bavel al Yirmiyahu b'yad Nevuzaradan Rav Tavrachim Lemor. Nevuchadnezzar, the king himself, gave a special command to his chief general about Yirmiyahu as follows. Kechenu ve'necha simalav v'al taslo me'umara. Take Yirmiyahu in the city, put your eyes on him, and don't do anything bad to him. Ki im kasher yedaber lecha kein ase imo. Whatever he asks you to do, that's what you do for him. His wish is your command. Why does Yirmiyahu get this protexia? Why does Yirmiyahu find favor in the eyes of the king of Bavel? It seems that the Babylonians were very aware of Yirmiyahu's prophecies and his advice against rebelling against Bavel and his demand that Am Yisrael and all the nations subjugate themselves to Bavel. Now, this special treatment that Yirmiyahu is getting makes sense to the Babylonians because he's the best person they have in Yerushalayim. But the fact that he gets this special care in the eyes of the people only proves to them what they've been claiming all along, that Yirmiyahu is working for the enemy. And Yirmiyahu finds himself in a very difficult situation now. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayishlach Nevuzaradan Rav Tabachim Unevushazban Rav Saris V'nergal Sar Etzer Rav Mag V'chol Rabbein Melech Bavel. So therefore, Nevuzaradan sends all of his top officers. We get a list of all their names. And they're all sent to go make sure that Yirmiyahu is taken care of. Vayishlchu V'yikhu et Yirmiyahu Michatzar Matara. They send their soldiers ahead, and they themselves come, and they take Yirmiyahu from Chatzar Matara, where he was imprisoned. Vayitnu oto el Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafan, lotzi'ehu el habayit. And they give him to Gedaliah ben Achikam ben Shafan. Again, we have the family of Achikam ben Shafan, who earlier was instrumental in saving Yirmiyahu. As we saw many times, the Shafan family was very sympathetic with Yirmiyahu and was very helpful to them. Since Gedaliah is going to be appointed as the new governor of Yehuda and the area of Yerushalayim, Yirmiyahu is given to Gedaliah, so that Gedaliah will take care of him. He's taken now and moved to a proper house. Vayeshev betoch ha'am, Yirmiyahu prefers to remain with the people in the city, not to go to Bavel where he would get special treatment, but rather stay with his own people. What happens to Yirmiyahu we're going to see in the next several chapters. Pasuk Tetvav, we're going to end the parak with how God rewards Eved Kushi, who saved Yirmiyahu before, and promises him that nothing bad will befall him. Pasuk Tetvav. Vel Yirmiyahu haya devar Adonai, biyoto atzur b'chatzar matara lemor. Back when Yirmiyahu was still under arrest, back before when Yirmiyahu was still in detention in Chatzar Matara, God had told him as follows. Haloch v'yamarta le'eved melech ha'kushi lemor. Go tell Eved Melech Kushi, the one who begged Tzidkiyahu to save Yirmiyahu from the pit, and the one who took the 30 men and lowered a rope down into the pit to save Yirmiyahu, as we saw in yesterday's share, go tell this word of God to Eved Melech Akushi. Ko amar Adonai Tzvot Elohi Yisrael. This is the word of God. Hineni mevi et dvarai al ha'ir hazot l'ra'a v'lo l'tova. My promise concerning the city about the evil that will befall it will come true, and not my promise of good because the people haven't followed me. Vayu l'fanecha b'yomahu. You will see this happening in front of you on that day. And on that day when it happens, when the Babylonians come in, v'tzalticha b'yomahu num Adonai, I'm promising you, I'm going to save you on that day. You won't fall into the hands of the men, probably the enemy, the army that you're so fearful of. I'm going to help you run away and get out of there. You won't die by the sword. You will save your soul. You put your trust in me, God says, and therefore I'll make sure to save you. Therefore, the parak ends with this promise that God had made earlier to Yirmiyahu, a promise that came true, and Eved Melech HaKushi was saved from the Babylonians and remained alive. So that ends Perek Lametet, and this story continues directly into chapter 40, which will be our topic of tomorrow's share.